of Freddie Rosas. Freddie Rosas is a young man who on Saturday will be turning 27 years old. We don't expect him to get out of prison the way things stand for another 21 years or so because of the sentence in this case that's been imposed. Mr. Rosas was convicted of a drug crime, delivering cocaine. He was also convicted of being a felon in possession of a firearm. He was also convicted of bearing that firearm in furtherance of a drug conspiracy or a drug crime. Because Judge Randa down in the up in the Eastern District of Wisconsin did find that Mr. Rosas was properly found to be a career offender under the sentencing guidelines, Mr. Rosas' anticipated sentencing range went from that of 77 to 96 months up to the range beginning with 262 months, and that is the sentence that was imposed in this case, 262 months. Judge Randa, in finding that Mr. Rosas is a career offender, relied on two previous felony convictions that Mr. Rosas had on his record. One was possession with intent to deliver marijuana. That was a 1999 conviction, and that is properly considered a crime, I think, under the career offender provisions for finding that Mr. Rosas was properly found to be a career offender. However, it's the second conviction, a 2001 conviction, for flinging, that we're here today to try to persuade this court to reconsider some precedent and some authority that I think in large measure controlled Judge Randa's decision to find Mr. Rosas to be a career offender, and that is the House decision, H-O-W-Z-E. Your Honors, in that case, this court, the Seventh Circuit, was considering crimes of violence and prior convictions, whether or not they fall into proper consideration as crimes of violence, for one who is convicted of 922G, to see whether or not, under the statutory definitions of crimes of violence, a prior fleeing or a prior theft from a person, dead or alive, is properly considered a crime of violence. In Mr. Rosas' case, he is sentenced purely under the guidelines, not under the statutory provisions that were under consideration in House. Only 4B11 and 4B12 and the application notes corresponding to that are, caused Judge Randa in this case to find Mr. Rosas to be a career offender. And so while House is definitely important in some of the philosophical considerations of whether or not a prior offense actually is a crime of violence or not, I don't believe that it should be controlling in this case, and in large part because this case, Mr. Rosas' case, is a guidelines case, I find it so important that we think ahead. Pardon?
Would you suggest we set aside the House case, or how would you suggest we fashion
it? I believe that because of the upcoming decisions that will be coming from the United States Supreme Court, that some of what we want to discuss today can't really be discussed. What I'm pointing out is, Your Honor, that the Booker and the Blakely, that line of cases will have an impact on this case that it would not have if it was... That's correct, and unless something changes in the Supreme Court, I believe that Almendez v. Torres... If they throw the guidelines out altogether, I think I'm in outstanding shape, Your Honor. I believe if they throw it out because this isn't the House decision, that Mr. Rosas would be going. My argument on Blakely, yes. However, just on the House decision itself, just on that, if you look to Wisconsin-specific statutes, we have specific statutes, Judge, that I think brings this outside of, forget about, you know, the...
The part doesn't make much difference. I mean, the rationalization of our position is that when you're fleeing from a police officer, it's inherently dangerous.
That's correct. And I believe that that is a faulty analysis, Judge.
If you don't stop when a cop tells you to stop when you're driving a car, I mean, that's a little different. If you don't pull right over or something, you can't be nailed for that. It's not a felony involving, or a case involving...
But in order, Judge, for you even to articulate that, with which I agree wholeheartedly, you would need to look at the statute that the person was convicted of. You wouldn't just hear the word fleeing and shut down your analysis.
The statute itself says that when you're fleeing, you're committing a crime, and we have said that when you're fleeing a police officer, that is inherently dangerous, and then you fall within that classification.
Interesting.
We have to change your mind in this case. I'll say that's not true.
Well, in the case, in the illustration that I put forth in my brief, I think that you would judge, because under Wisconsin law, even if you weren't necessarily fleeing to the felony level, you could be found to have a crime of violence.
Wisconsin said affirmatively that fleeing a fleeing felon is not committing a crime of violence.
No.
We have
no, I believe what this court needs to do is, A, look to see whether or not the person that you're considering has been convicted for a crime that you could be sentenced to for over a year. And in Wisconsin, that can happen whether or not you're convicted of a felony or if your sentence has been enhanced under... It absolutely does. And under Wisconsin, I think that our legislature has been so careful in outlining that there are ways that a fleeing crime can be committed as a misdemeanor. It can also be convicted as a felony. And under the felony statute, they break out 10 different ways that you can commit that crime, and our statute is so carefully crafted that I believe that it comes out stating that there are 8 ways that you definitely pose a potential danger.
You want us to say that in Wisconsin, fleeing from a misdemeanor is not a crime of violence and is not subject to the enhancement under our rules?
No, sir. What I'm hoping that you would do, Your Honor, is look also at the felony statute in Wisconsin, which, as I'm stating, breaks out about 10 ways that you can break that statute, 8 of which... It certainly does. And most of the ways that you can commit the felony fleeing in Wisconsin under Wisconsin statutes do pose a potential danger, a serious potential danger. Because there are 2 sections under that statute which I believe that the legislature, in outlining so carefully so many ways that you can commit that crime, have 2 ways that you can commit it, and that is one of those 2 ways is the way that Mr. Rosas was charged with having committed the crime and to which he pled to having committed the crime, and that is by speeding up and in an attempt to flee. They do not indicate whether or not he sped, you know, over the speed limit, whether or not he increased the speed of his vehicle. Key word, Judge, you just said it, endangering. And our statute in Wisconsin for felony fleeing, yes, but that's right. And in Wisconsin, we have 8 sections that point out endangering either a police officer or endangering other vehicles, endangering. That's right, and that's exactly the example that our legislature agrees with you. And sure. My legislature has, and that's what's outlined in my brief, actually, Judge. If you would look at the statute, it states that there, whenever you attempt to flee, you can endanger or interfere with others. Or, the last 2 sections... That's right. That, I believe, was dealing with the escape statute, and they were anticipating that trying to take down somebody who's supposed to be a prisoner. That's right. In Wisconsin, the statute that should be being under consideration here, I apologize, I didn't realize that the light is not on here. I'm going to sit down and let my worthy opponent speak, and then I'll come back and respond to him. Thank you, Judge.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Gordon Giampietro. I'm an assistant United States attorney, and I represent the United States in this case. The district court below correctly held as a matter of law that the defendant's 2001 fleeing conviction was a crime of violence under the sentencing guidelines, and therefore enhanced his sentence as a career offender. For this reason, Rosas's 262-month sentence, which is the bottom of the applicable career offender guideline, should be affirmed. I don't want to say much more than what's in the government's brief, but I do want to touch upon 3 specific issues that I think are important in this case. First, why House applies equally in career offender cases as it does to the Armed Career Criminal Statute at issue in House. Second, why the amendments to the Wisconsin fleeing statute don't call the House rationale into doubt. And third, why Rosas' Blakely or Booker and Fanfan argument really isn't an argument for for Blakely or Booker and Fanfan, it's actually an argument for the reversal of the categorical approach that the Supreme Court announced in Taylor and that this Court has applied in numerous cases since Taylor. With respect to the first issue, and that's the Housy case, the District Court was correct here to say that he was deemed himself bound by Housy. The pertinent language that the Court is wrestling with here is serious potential risk of physical injury. That is the identical language in the statutory provision that relates to armed career criminals that is found in the career offender guidelines section. The defendant really has not proposed any reason why that language should have a different interpretation when it's found in the guidelines as opposed to found in the statute in the Housy case. The second point relates to Wisconsin's amendment of its fleeing statute. The defendant is correct that Wisconsin has seen fit to include a misdemeanor provision in that statute. That's not this case. It's simply not this case. The defendant has admitted at least two or three times in the brief that before the amendment, his conduct was a felony, and after the misdemeanor amendment, his conduct remains a felony. The old statute, Your Honor. Exactly. That's not in dispute, and that's in fact what Judge Randa indicated in the sentencing transcript. He said, this looks to me just like the last sentence of the revised new statute. Right, and arguably confronted with the question of whether that misdemeanor offense would qualify as a crime of violence, the Court might categorically come out differently. But again, that's not this case. This clearly fits within the felony provision. That's how I understand the argument as well, Your Honor. However, in the Housy case, and I'll just read a quote because I think it's important, what the Court said at that point, this is in response with reference to what the defendant's argument was, the defendant had argued, a motorist who disobeys police instructions and increases speed in an attempt to flee does not threaten the safety of bystanders so long as he does not exceed the speed limit or violate some other law along the way. And what this Court said is we reject that argument. We rejected that argument in Bryant, which is the walkaway case, Your Honor. And so, regardless of the shuffling of the statute in Wisconsin, the critical question of whether this conduct, ignoring a police officer's signal and increasing your speed, is a felony and categorically satisfies the crime of violence definition, that hasn't changed, regardless of what Wisconsin did by creating a misdemeanor provision in the statute. So in short, what Rosas is really arguing for, and I think Judge Bauer, you were pressing counsel on this, is an outright reversal of the Housy decision in light of the amendment of the Wisconsin statute, but I don't think that is an appropriate outcome. And I think that also brings me to the third. I think that's right. She stopped short of, I think, asking for outright reversal, but I think that's the necessary result of her argument or the request. That brings me to the third point, which is what really the defendant is asking for here is a rejection of the categorical approach. Because in her brief at page 42, she indicates that what really should happen here under Blakely is that the jury should be able to determine what the, quote, nature of the offense really was. That's really not a Blakely question so much as a question of whether Taylor and its categorical approach should be rejected entirely. So regardless of how Booker and Fanfan were to come out, and let's say they reach Elementaris Torres and say that, you know, prior convictions have to be given to a jury, where are we left here? Is the jury not just going to find the fact of the prior conviction, but is the jury actually going to weigh whether something, this conviction is in fact a crime of violence? So for example, is the Housy case going to be, is the jury going to be instructed with the Housy case that in fact, yes, you find the fact of the conviction, but we've decided under Housy that this is a crime of violence under the guidelines. Now, this is all very speculative because we don't know what's going to happen in Booker and Fanfan. But in any event, as we stand here today, I think the Housie decision controls this case, and it indicates that the judge's decision to sentence this defendant as a career offender was correct. So for all those reasons, if there are no further questions, I'll sit down. Thank you.
2 minutes. Thank you. Thank you very much. The fact that Wisconsin has decided to legislate a misdemeanor felony offense is interesting, but has no bearing on today's argument. And allow me to be clear, because clearly I have confused the government in the past on this. It's interesting. It's not controlling. The felony statute itself, though, needs to be resorted to, even under the categorical approach. And what Housie is doing is it's causing excellent judges like Judge Randa to take a day off and not do the categorical approach. Look at the statute, not just the big, broad statute. Look at the specific parts of the statute with which the defendant was convicted, with which the prosecutor back in that state court case thought was most appropriate to the conduct at issue. It comes out that Mr. Rosas was charged with and convicted not of interfering with anybody, not of endangering anybody, just driving away from an officer and increasing his speed to what? We don't know. That's not in the information. In an attempt to flee. That's absolutely right. Your Honor, it is exactly the same as the misdemeanor. Except the wording in the felony provision is that the person is disregarding the signal from the officer versus failing to stop. That's right, it's failing to stop. And the felony is disregarding and increasing your speed. But it doesn't require, like the Michigan statutes do, increasing to 35 miles an hour or being in a 35 mile an hour zone or anything like that. Just increasing the speed. And really, if you're to say that any time that somebody is driving away from an officer and increases their speed, that's practically saying that speeding is a violent offense. And it's not. Blowing a red light is not a violent offense. And in this case, it's crazy to let this particular tail wag the sentence of Mr. Rosas by increasing it to the gross amount that it has without even looking at the statute. And that's what I think that where Housie is very dangerous, because I think that it can allow judges to just forego looking at the actual language with which a person was charged. The prosecutor had the opportunity to charge Mr. Rosas with endangering or interfering many, many people, and he wasn't charged. Thank you very much.